Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to receive the word of God here today? Yeah, I'll tell you what. There's no place better to be than be in the house of the Lord, gathered in the name of Jesus, hearing the word. You know, I know there's so much going on today, and you know, there's people right now that are excited about football games and, you know, festivals and things like that. But we've come into the house of the Lord today to get our help. Praise the Lord. And so we're excited for the word. We're going to get fed in our spirit, renewed in our mind. We're going to receive strength in our flesh, because that's what the Bible says the word of God does for us. Amen. It says over there in Proverbs 4:22 that God's words are life to those that find them, health to all of our flesh. Amen. So we're going to just get what God has for us today. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, we just welcome those that are visiting Family Church today. We're just so honored. Also, you know, we see some families that this is your second, third time back with us. We're just so honored to have you. We just invite you to be part of our church family. Amen. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And we just know that God's got a great plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. All right, that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges in life. Of course, we know that there is, but we got an answer before the test ever was given. And so here at Family Church, our goal is to preach the uncompromised word of God. Amen. To strengthen you with God's plan. Amen. To teach us that we're in covenant with the Lord. It's not just what he wants to do for us, but what we want to do for him. Amen. And so it's just so good to see everyone here today. Are you more excited about the word than you are about football? Yeah. Because I got a prediction today. I got a prediction today. My prediction for the Buffalo Bills game is this. All right. 4-0. Yes, 4-0 for the New England Patriots. Yeah. Hey, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I can tell you. And if you're here and say, oh my goodness, he's not a Bills fan. Listen, I grew up in the era of when the Super Bowl was a holiday in Western New York. I used to, you know, go to several Bills games a year. Listen, even though, you know, pretty much three out of those four Super Bowls, they got absolutely crushed. I cried like a little girl every time, even when they lost 52-17 to the Cowboys, even when they lost by something about like that to the Redskins, you know, of course, and when the kick went wide right, I think I was 12 or 13 years old, and man, I cried like a schoolgirl, right? And of course, so I am a Bills fan, but I'm just like a disgruntled divorcee, right? They've just hurt me too much, all right? And I'm excited that they're 3-0. I have to admit, I'm not expecting that they'll be 4-0, but let's hope I'm wrong, right? I'm waiting for them to prove me wrong because I'm waiting, you know, the prodigal son is ready to come home, all right? Yeah, we'll see, but you gotta remember, they're 3-0 against the three worst teams in the league, with a combined record of 1-8. So now they'll be tested for real, all right? And I think you could really just say it this way, they'll really be tested, all right? But folks, I'll tell you what, that comes later. Nothing wrong with enjoying a football game. But let's not be those Christians that jump up, hoot and holler at football, and then we don't bring any life to the house of God. Let's put our life here. Let's celebrate this because we've already won here today. Amen. You know, I've talked to people that their mood will swing based on what their football team does. I tell you what, that's sad and pathetic. That is so sad and pathetic. You know, just be like me and stop caring. No, of course we'll watch it. Of course we'll enjoy it. All right, it'll be awesome to see Tom Brady put up 5 touchdown passes today. I'm just kidding. I hope I'm so wrong. I really do. Praise the Lord. All right, you ready for the word of God? Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to be more excited about football. You know, we're going to be more excited about the word than we are about, you know, apple festivals and things. That's wonderful and great. You know, I've literally, folks, I just tell you the truth. And of course, go and enjoy that. It's a beautiful day after church and all that. But I have literally had people tell me, like, oh, Pastor, I wouldn't be in church today because I had to go to the pumpkin chucking contest. Folks, I'm going to just tell you a little something. That's not what pastors like to be told. You know, while you're out there learning chucking pumpkins, we're going to be learning how to chuck mountains in here. Amen. With our faith. Glory to God. You know, I'll tell you what, if God's house can just be simply dismissed because of something, you know, routine or recreational, I'll tell you what, when the pressures of life come upon us, we better have our faith ready. Amen. We better have our faith ready to go. And that's what we're going to call this message here today, your faith versus the world. Your faith versus the world. And over the last couple of weeks, over the last several services, I've been preaching about the significance of the words that we speak, all right? And it is going to be some review, and this actually just kind of came on me as we were praising and worshiping, and I started to realize we're going to, you know, we're going to do this. It's just I'm being led to do it. We're going to bring up several verses that we've mentioned, some that we've mentioned, some that we haven't, over the last several services about the significance of the words that we speak out of our mouths. You know, I'll tell you what, you will go no further than what you're talking. You'll go no further than what you're talking. You know, everything in your life is going to be a sum of how you talk, how you speak. And we're just going to keep repeating these things to build it into your heart so you put a watch over your mouth, because God is trying to give good things into your life. But if you are not speaking right, He cannot override your own words. All right. Are you ready up there to help me out? We're going to bring up, you can just bring them up in the King James. We'll start with Proverbs 18:21. Of course, this is a very familiar verse to us around here. We know that it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. And we're going to bring these scriptures up, each one, so you can see it in the Word of God for yourself. All right? Death and life. Which one would you rather have? I'd rather have some life. So notice the power of life is in your mouth, but also the power of death. You can speak the right things, life will be the result. You can speak the wrong things, and death could be the result. The word death there doesn't just mean that your heart stops beating. It's talking about destruction. The word in the Hebrew there is actually destruction. All right, destruction and life are in the power of the tongue. Can you bring up Proverbs 13 and verse 2? Proverbs 13 and verse 2, right? It says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. All right? A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. All right? And so if you want to eat good, you're going to have to talk right. Again, a man eats, or a man lives off the words that he speaks. What sustains you in this life are the words that you allow to come out of your mouth. All right, look at verse 3. I love this. Verse 3, this was not the plan, by the way. These verses were not the plan. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Amen. The word keepeth there is a Hebrew word for guard. He that guards his mouth makes it a priority to watch the things that you say, guards his life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. See, there's that word destruction. All right, meaning you talk all the time. Okay, you talk about, you know, why you don't have enough money. That's what you're going to continue to have. You talk about why you're not going to make it. Then you're not going to. All right, you talk about why you're the first to get sick. That's what's going to happen. You talk about how much you hate your job. Guess what? You'll never learn to like it. You know, and you'll find out, people say, oh, I hate this job, I hate this, I hate this. You'll start to find, you know, they'll switch jobs. And guess what? They still hate it. And their situation in life will change. They'll still hate their life. And they'll even have more money come to them somehow, and then they will still complain. Because it's not a job, money, circumstance issue. It's a circumstance or an issue with their heart. They've learned that negativity is more popular or easier to be. But he that guards his mouth guards his life. Let's see, I believe we were looking at Proverbs 15:23 this past Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Of course, we're just in the book of Proverbs here. Yeah, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Amen. You know, if you're here and you're new and you hear people praising and you know, and vocalizing in this church service, well, they're just going to have joy by the answer of their mouth. Listen, you want more joy to come to you? Well, then, you know, give God a good answer on a Sunday morning. Praise him. Worship him. Amen. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Now, we said this Wednesday that so many people, they're waiting for that, you know, word spoken in due season to come from the preacher, from the minister, or they want a personal prophecy or something like that. But the word spoken in due season in this verse is talking about out of your mouth. If you need a good report, well, guess what? Start saying it. Amen. A word spoken in season, how good it is. A man will have joy, but you could also say it this way. A man will have fear by the answer of his mouth. A man will have depression by the answer of his mouth. You know, if you talk, you know, depressive, listen, I'll tell you what. You know, the reason why those things stick to our lives is because we talk that way. We give them permission by our words. And so we're talking about the significance of what we say. My goodness, we could go to Proverbs 16. We could go just to so many verses. We go to Proverbs 6. I mean, all these things. But let's move into the New Testament real quickly. Mark 11:23, just a little bit of a reminder of what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. All right. Just again, giving you a refresher of why it's so important to watch what you say. You know, I hear people all the time saying, I just can't get ahead. Well, watch that. Folks saying, you know, figures of speech all the time. My back is killing me. You know, I just, you know, I'm just so miserable in life. I'm just so lonely in life. I'm just so this. I'm just so that. You know, you got to be careful because those words will only enforce those things. They will only keep them rooted in your life. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. This went off in me this past week. You know, of course we see verse by verse, and we can have what we say. I'll tell you what, it's time to start saying some things. It's time to start having some things. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, if you want something to change in your life, the power to change it is sitting there with you right now. Amen. What happens if you direct your words at that thing, like the mountain that Jesus is talking about? Direct your words on purpose and say what's going to happen. Amen. You start declaring by faith what that thing is going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 3:10. Again, a verse that we've been quoting around here a lot lately. And again, these are just a few verses to show us the significance of the words that we speak. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. All right? And we, of course, we've seen over there in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Remember when Moses sent the spies into the land and they came back and gave an evil report about how strong the giants were in the land and how big and strong the cities and the militaries of that land were? How many of you know it was a true report? All right? But it was still called evil because of the way they spoke, the doubt that they had. Listen, we can say things that are true, things that are factual in this life, but listen, you know, if you're just reinforcing that thing in your life with your words, listen, let's lift those things, let's change them with our faith. Praise the Lord. And so we just wanted to go through, I just felt led just to go through these half a dozen verses to start here today to understand how important it is. Can you bring up 2 Corinthians 4:13? 2 Corinthians 4:13. We're going to look at this now, We're going to need it here a little bit later, I believe, in the message. He says, Paul the Apostle says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. All right? Notice what the spirit of faith is and what the spirit of faith does. It believes with the heart and speaks with the mouth. Believes with the heart and speaks with the mouth. Do you see how faith works? All right? Again, we'll show you another verse. Can you bring up Romans 10:8? Romans 10:8. Praise the Lord. How faith works, how faith operates. Glory to God. Romans 10:8. Here it is. It's in the pipeline. It's coming. Praise the Lord. But what saith it, or what does the word of God say? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. All right? So notice, believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth is what the Bible calls the word of faith. And now verse 9 is very familiar to us because it's how we get saved. That if you shall confess or say with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right? Verse 10 tells us how that happens. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession or speaking is made unto salvation. All right, so the spirit of faith, I believe in my heart, I speak with my mouth. Salvation came from believing with my heart, speaking with my mouth. All right, so notice what faith is. Believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth. All right, now hold your place there in Romans 12. Go over to 1 John chapter 5. Well, all of a sudden I just feel like teaching here today. Just teaching. 1 John, over there, towards the back of your New Testament. 1 John 5:4, a verse again that we see a lot. 1 John 5:4. So what's faith? Believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth. Okay, but what if your heart doesn't know what to say? Well, then that's where you have to get some knowledge. That's why I read the Bible. Not so I can tell God that I read it, but or that he sees me reading it. It said I can train my mouth how to answer. What does it say over there? Hey, can you bring that up? We'll go right back to this, but can you bring up, what is it, Proverbs 15:28? I believe that was the right verse. I love this. The righteous studies to answer. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. All right? I study my Bible so I know that I'll have an answer to speak out of my mouth when this world rises up against me. There's going to be a lot of stuff in this world, in your life, that needs to be dealt with your measure of faith. Okay? The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. All right, wow. Amen. So what is faith? Believing with the heart, speaking with the mouth. Why do we study the word? So we have an answer. Okay, 1 John 5:4 again. Praise the Lord. Boy, I tell you what. There's a lot in the Bible about what we say and how we say it. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. This is John the Apostle writing, and he says, for whatsoever is born of God. Do we have any whatsoevers here today? All right. Isn't it good to be born of God? When you're born of something, that means you possess the nature of your parent. Okay? We possess the nature of our Heavenly Father. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Where is that situation that you need to overcome right now? It's in the world. It's not in heaven, and it's not in hell. You're not going there if you're born again. All right? But whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. Everyone say victory. Victory. That overcomes the world, even our faith. What is faith? Believing with the heart, speaking with the mouth. This is the victory in this world. Believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth. There's nothing in this life that believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth cannot overcome. There is nothing, I'm going to say it again. Let this sink in. There's nothing in this life that believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth cannot solve or do. So what does that tell us? Victory is ever present in a believer. Victory is ever present in the believer. I'm not looking to get it. I have it. You don't need to find the victory. You need to use the victory. Because victory is there. And it will not be God's fault if we don't use it. And that is the goal of this message today, that you use your measure of faith in this world. Amen. Go with me now to Romans 12. I had you hold your place there. And we'll start in verse 1. Glory to God. So this is a victory that overcomes the world, leaving me believing with my heart, speaking with my mouth. You need victory over something in your life? Believe with your heart, speak with your mouth. Well, Pastor, I need to have, I need something in my body to get healed. Well, you need victory over that pain or that sickness or whatever. You believe with your heart, you speak with your mouth. And it's not just one time. It's over and over and over again. Right? Amen. Well, Pastor, I need a victory in my finances. Believe with your heart, speak with your mouth. God put your future there. He put your victory there. All right. Well, I need some victory in my marriage. Believe with your heart, speak with your mouth. Instead of, telling your spouse how much they fall short, why don't you say something else? Yeah. Amen. Stop saying how much you don't have. Stop saying what you lack. Stop saying how bad the pain is. Stop saying that. Right. Amen. The victory is there. Believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth. All right. Romans 12, 1. And now, Paul the Apostle, writing by the Holy Ghost to the church at Rome, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of God's wonderful mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or I like how the Amplified says it, is your reasonable act of worship. What's the first thing we do to worship God? We put our bodies under. All right. I mean, my goodness. He says, because of God's mercy, the simplest thing you can do is at least offer your body to the things of God and not to the things of the world, right? In verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world. Oh, Christians are not supposed to do what the world does. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Notice God's perfect will isn't up to God. It's up to you. You got to renew your mind. God's good and perfect will is waiting for you. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you're going to have to, 100% renew your mind to it. Verse 3. Now, verse 3 is what I'm getting to here. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. The word man means person. Don't get in the gender wars, with the wording of the Bible. It means person, all right? All right? According as God has dealt to every single born-again believer the measure of faith. You cannot, if you're born again, heaven-bound, washed by the blood of the Lamb, if you are saved, you cannot say you don't have faith. God has dealt or given to you a measure of faith. From the moment you get born again, you become the steward of this faith. This faith that God has put in you is God's faith. We often mistakenly call it our faith, but it's not our faith. It's His faith that's the result of being born again. Now, of course, we are the stewards of it. Notice it says that we are given a measure of faith. Know this, that faith itself is unlimited, but our faith, or the faith that you're currently operating in, is limited. Meaning, when you get born again, you don't get all the faith that you're going to get. You get a measure of it, all right? And it becomes your responsibility to develop that measure of faith in your life. Amen. And of course, you know how the scripture says how to get faith, right? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. And so the more you hear God's word, the more God's faith is going to be built up on the inside of you, all right? And the more God's faith is on the inside of you, the more you're going to speak, okay? And so we understand that. We see that God has given every man a measure of faith. And if it's God's faith, guess what? It works. God's faith works every time. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we are stewards of our own faith. We can increase it, but God is not going to increase it for you. You cannot ask God for more faith. He does not give you more faith. I'm going to show you that in the Word of God. Going to God and asking for more faith is something that He will not give to you. Because the Scripture does not say that He gives you more faith. The Bible says that you increase your measure by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All right? Praise the Lord. We have to understand, faith is like two things. First of all, it's like money. It is, in the sense that it's very similar to currency in the fact that it must be replenished if you want to spend more. You know, you got to hear God's word constantly. You know, you use your faith, and then you got to, you know, put it back in there through hearing the word of God. All right? It has to be replenished. All right? It's got to be, you could say it this way, soberly budgeted. Meaning, like money, you don't want to face a deficit when you have a need. Okay, you don't want to come up against a situation that your measure of faith is not capable of handling. All right, like money, you don't want to find yourself in deficit. You know, faith is also like muscle. It's got to be used if it's going to grow. All right, you absolutely, the more faith you use, the more faith you're going to have and you're going to want to have. All right, and so it's our job to be the caretaker of our faith and to develop it. All right, and now I'm just going to bring these verses up here. 1 Timothy 6:12, could you bring that up for us? I want to show you what Paul said about his faith. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed or spoken a good profession before many witnesses. But notice this, Paul said to Timothy, he said, in this world, fight the good fight of faith. So that's why I call this message here today, your faith versus the world. All right? He's telling Timothy, you're going to have to bring your measure of faith up against several scenarios that you're going to face in this life. All right? I mean, if you're facing, I mean, it could be every aspect of life. There's so many examples. You know, I mean, you could be young and just married. You could be getting married. You could be heading to college. Or you could be starting a business. You could be running a business. I mean, just anything. You could be in the situation where you lost a job. I mean, it just could be any situation in this life. You have to understand, you better bring your measure of faith to the fight. Fight the good fight of believing with your heart and speaking with your mouth. That is what this life with God is. Fight the fight of believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth. What are you believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth about your kids, about your marriage, about your business, about your local church? Amen. About your family, about your colleagues. Believing with your heart, speaking with your mouth. The fight, the good fight of faith. All right? We have to know and understand that. That means that your measure of faith is what you will be constantly putting up against the world. All right? You're going to be constantly bringing your measure of faith to the things that happen in this world. All right? And so now this makes sense. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our believing with our heart and speaking with our mouth. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now, we're going to look at an example of when God's people did not bring their measure of faith to the situation. Folks, what are you doing with your measure of faith? What are you bringing it to? You better bring it to the table. You better bring it to your marriage. Listen, when you get married, you're getting married to that person's measure of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you come to a church, you know, you're getting that measure of faith. You're bringing your measure of faith to your church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I tell you what, it just fires me up. Because there's just things that, you know, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me this week about, hey, just saying some things, just reminding me things. Hey, that's right. I've kind of misdirected my words away from this area in the church or this area in my life. He said, just start speaking to that again. Believe with your heart. Speak with your mouth. Glory to God. You know, one of the things that he led me to speak about is, of course, you see, we got a nice, you know, full church on our hands. But how many of you know, we're about, what, 75, 80% full here today? What if every seat in this place was filled? What if every seat in this place was filled? Say, well, Pastor, you know, and I understand people don't want to be shoulder to shoulder with somebody, but would you do it for the sake of that person's destiny? Yes, we would. Amen. I mean, we're not so selfish that we wouldn't want someone to come in and have their lives changed sitting under the Word of God in that seat. You know, so you look at the few empty seats that we got here and you think about that. I mean, every one of those represents an opportunity for a changed life, for a restored marriage, for somebody else walking in heaven, walking on earth in the plan of God, fulfilling. There's generations waiting to be changed in those seats. Amen. Well, what if we spoke to them? I believe with my heart, and I speak to those seats, you know, that the folks of this community, regardless of their walk of life, they may come out of a rough place and never have had a cent of money to their name, or they might be the wealthiest person in the county. It doesn't matter. We call them into the house of God. We ask for the heathen for our inheritance and the uttermost the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession. And each one of those chairs be filled in Jesus' name. What if you spoke that way about your local church? And then what if you put corresponding action to your faith and went and found somebody and got them into that seat? Amen. I mean, it just rises up, you know. You could be speaking things about your kids. You could be speaking things about your finances. Whatever it is, believe with your heart, speak with your mouth, use your measure of faith. Go to Luke 8. We'll start in verse 22. How many of you remember the account where Jesus was in the ship or the small boat, right, with his disciples in the storm? All right, I think it's recorded over there also in Matthew chapter 8. I know it's over in Mark chapter 4. And now we're looking at Luke's gospel and his account of this same happening here. And remember, you know, Jesus said, basically, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. How many of you know when Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're getting to the other side? Okay. And we'll pick it up here in verse 22. It says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples. All right, so there's 13 of them in that boat. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. All right, it's a big lake, but it's, you know, the Sea of Galilee. And they launched forth. All right, and of course the word is spoken there by the Lord. Let's go to the other side. Jesus promised you that you would get to the other side. He did not promise you that you would love every second in the middle on the way over. All right. He said, you're going to get to the other side. How many of you know on the other side of that lake was purpose? How many of you know that on the other side of that lake there was souls? There was something to do for God? All right. Amen. You know, I don't want to think about the storm in the middle of the lake. I want to think about the souls and the kingdom of God that'll grow on the other side. What you're going through right now and about you is trying to hinder you from being faithful to the house of God, hinder you from being an influence over souls. Come on. Amen. The more we're all faithful here together, the more souls that we'll influence into the kingdom of God. Right? The Bible says over there, 1 Peter 2:9, it says, we are living stones built up into a holy habitation of God. How many of you know the devil wants to just start pulling bricks out of the wall? You know, we're all, the Bible says, living stones built up into a holy house for God. Well, what if you go to a brick wall and you just start prying out bricks one by one? Of course, the devil wants to attack us individually so that the wall or the house of God gets weaker. You have to understand, the assault on your life is not about you. It's about weakening the church. When you understand your importance in the house of God. Amen. Listen, let's go to the other side where there is fruit to be had. But as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind. Mark's gospel says, and the Amplified says, a storm of hurricane proportions. We're not talking about a thunder shower. You know, we're talking about a huge storm. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. That doesn't mean the disciples were filled with water. That means that literally the boat was filling. How many of you know boats filling with water in the middle of the lake, not a good thing, okay? It means that the ship was naturally sinking. And it says, and we're in jeopardy. Verse 24, and they came to him and woke him, saying, everyone say, saying. Wow, here come the words of their mouth. Saying. Now, remember, they've already heard, we're going to the other side. Here's what we'll do if we're not careful. We start saying something other than what the Lord said. Master, Master, we perish. We're dying here. We are not going to make it. It's not working out. We're not getting over this. See what I'm saying? Listen, the Lord said, you're the healed of the Lord. The Bible says that you're the redeemed of the Lord. You're going to the other side. He says, Master, Master, and I like Mark's gospel, says, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care? Jesus, you're so insensitive. No, Jesus just said, I don't get up and worry for you when you're in the middle of the storm. Because I'm trying to tell you that even though that storm is raging, the answer is right there in the boat with you right now. It says, then he arose. Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. All right? Verse 25, don't you love the first words out of Jesus' mouth? You know, you'd think he'd say, hey, guys, how about that? Remember those waves and that wind? Gone. Look what I did. Nothing like that. Jesus said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? It's a good question. We're going to answer that question. For he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him. Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Notice the question from Jesus. Where is your faith? Jesus was letting them know that they could have handled it. They could have handled it. How did Jesus stop that storm? With his faith. But notice, he wasn't asking where his faith was. He's asking, where's your faith? What do we see here? Jesus expected them to bring their measure of faith to that storm. The Bible tells us over there in 2 Corinthians 10, 13-ish. I think we need to look up that verse. I believe that's the one. Can you try that? That verse starts playing on the inside of me. We're going to come right back to Luke 8, 25. 2 Corinthians 10, 13-ish. Is that the right one? Yeah. We're in that neighborhood. We're in that neighborhood. It's not 1 Corinthians 10, 13, is it? It could be. Oh, praise the Lord. We need the Jeopardy theme song playing right now. Is it 1 Corinthians 10, 13? God will not allow us. 10, 13? Praise the Lord. You know, 1 and 2 Corinthians sound so much alike. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Praise the Lord. Here's what we understand. You got to remember this in the Word. There is no temptation That word temptation means trial or trouble. There is no temptation, trial, or trouble taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer or allow you to be tempted or tested above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What does that mean? The Bible says that there's no trial that you're facing that there isn't also an escape. All right, how many of you know there was an escape in that boat that day? And I'm not talking about jumping overboard, right? Go back over there to Luke 8:25. Jesus said, "Where is your faith? You could have brought your measure to this storm, but the way it is right now, the storm's winning." Say, well, man, Pastor, are you saying that their measure of faith could have stopped that storm? Well, I tell you what, they could have used that measure of faith before it ever got that big. Sometimes we wait for the trial, we wait for the boat to be sinking before we start using our faith. What about using our faith when the waves are 2 feet tall instead of 10 feet tall? Come on now. See, and this is the definition of crisis. Are you ready? Crisis is when natural circumstances exceed your measure of faith. Oh, that's absolutely right. They could have said something. Come on now. See, the storm was winning at that moment, and it shouldn't have been. Boy, I'm making somebody mad in here. I'm making somebody mad. Because, you know, I'll honestly, folks, when I say this, I love you. Be nice to me after I say this. But I'm just saying, as, you know, pastoring for 13 and a half years, I've seen this over and over, that most believers would rather have sympathy than get their answer of faith. They'd rather have me say, "Oh, honey, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Just hold on. We all understand." Boy, see how quiet it gets in here? Of course we love people. Of course we're there to help them. Of course we're there to encourage and things like that. But I'm telling you, sympathy and faith are not the same thing. Sympathy was not going to keep that boat floating. Sympathy was not going to stop that storm. Somebody needed to bring a measure of faith. Come on. He said, "Where is your faith? You should have brought your measure, because there's going to be storms in this world. You better be ready to release that measure, because the storm's winning at this moment. And at that moment, sympathy isn't going to deliver you." Jesus could have gone over and he just stopped. See, we all are expecting Jesus, make the wind go away, make the storm stop, and then come over and rock-a-bye baby me. Jesus took, you know, he stood up and said, you know, "Peace, be still." The storm stopped, and then he turned around. He didn't say, "Oh, come here, buddies. Oh, let's huddle. Group hug." He turned and he looked at him and said, "Where's your faith?" He said, "How come I'm the one bringing my measure of faith to this storm and none of you are?" Listen, I'll tell you what, that can be the case in a family. Where I've seen it where, you know, the mom, and I'll be honest, ladies, I'm here to commend you. Most times, the woman in a family is bringing a greater measure of faith in that situation than the rest of the family. All right? Of course, I've seen it the other way, too. Listen, we cannot just, you know, have one measure of faith carrying, and everyone else is just sitting around waiting for, you know, just mom or just dad to carry that on their measure of faith. Listen, you need to bring your measure of faith, amen, against this world. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. The storm was winning at the moment. Didn't have to be that way. There's something that could have dealt with it. But the disciples were unprepared. Their measure wasn't up to it. And now the Bible says they're in jeopardy. The scripture said that. They were in trouble. All right, in the sense that, you know, they did not bring their measure of faith to that situation. That is dangerous. All right, that's the definition of danger. Are you ready? It's dangerous to allow your measure of faith to go undeveloped Because there's things in this world that can exceed it if you're not careful. If you just allow. Have you seen people that live in crisis every day? They live in crisis every single day. And the reason why they're living in crisis every single day, because all it takes is just a little bit of trouble in this life to exceed their measure of faith. But I also see people that will come against huge trials in their life, and it hardly moves them. It wasn't the trial that was the variable. All right? They had a big trial, but it wasn't crisis level for them because it didn't exceed their measure of faith because they developed it. Oh, amen. Jesus says in verse 25, where is your faith? And the verse tells us exactly where it went. They being afraid. You ever wondered what's going to kill your measure of faith? Fear. Fear is the faith killer. Fear is what will diminish your measure of faith. Amen. Where's your faith? Well, it went out the door as soon as they got scared. Praise the Lord. They were afraid. Fear will always bring your faith measure down to zero. It will diminish your faith to where circumstances can overpower it. Wow. This is why the circumstances talk the loudest to you and to your mind at first. That first moment is critical, all right? It determines whether your faith will be stolen from you or not. At that moment when, you know, everything looks to be crashing down, something's happening that, you know, tries to bring fear on you, that first moment and that first response is everything. It's going to dictate the next step and what's going to happen. It determines whether your faith will be stolen from you or not. That first impression will tell you where your faith is at. At that moment, you will learn what you have developed in your measure of faith or not. Go to Luke 17, and I will show you why Jesus did indeed expect them to bring their measure of faith to that storm. He absolutely did. Pastor, but I prayed to God that he would stop it. He's not gonna. I just got to get out of this situation. Oh, God, please, you got to help me. He doesn't listen to that. Not to a believer that knows better. Say, oh, Pastor, you're portraying God the Father insensitive. He's not insensitive. He just so desperately wants to help you, but he can't. All right, if you're talking that way. Luke 17, our faith versus the world. Come on. The answer was with you. This is the victory that overcomes the storm. Even their faith. This is the victory that overcomes a financial, a quote-unquote, disaster or crisis. Even our faith. This is absolutely the victory that overcomes pain in our body or a bad doctor's report. Even our faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what will fill churches. This is what will fill your home. Glory to God. This is what will lead you to the next promotion. This is what pleases the Father. Luke 17, verse 5. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. Man, we only have... You thought you were going to get out of here in time to get to that, you know, TV to see that Bills game? Oh, no. No. We're going to be right here for kickoff. Praise the Lord. I remember, you know what, can I say something here? And when I say it, I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything. And but I remember I was probably 10, 11 years old. And I remember I was sitting in a church. And it wasn't a joke. But I remember sitting there in church and the pastor was preaching. And all of a sudden he looked down at his watch and said, hey, we got to wrap this up. We got a Bills game starting. And he was serious. Guess what? That church don't exist anymore. That church does not exist. And at that moment, I don't know, it probably had 75, 80 people in it. I remember sitting there, and the preacher's up there preaching, and he also said, oh, well, hey, we got to be done because we got a Bills game today. And of course, yeah, God first. And I you know, as a little kid, I've always thought about that. We better be careful. what comes in front of the house of the Lord. Now, of course, I joke about how long I preach, but you've learned it's really not a joke. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. But at the same time, we know that we can only preach as long as your backside can endure. All right. There does come a point when, you know, enough, you are filled for the day. All right. Luke 17, here we go. Verse 5. Here is what a lot of Christians have said to the Lord. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Here they are praying for more faith. But that's not how faith comes. You cannot ask the Lord because, watch, he is not going to give it. Praise the Lord. We having some technical difficulties up there with our screen. There we go. Praise the Lord. And because I don't know if it's up here, but I know that I'm losing my screen here on and off. So what were we going to do without our Bible screen? I mean, how will we ever do God's will without our screen with the verses? Jesus got away without one. I imagine we'll handle it just fine. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, sure, since you asked for it, I think I'll just give you all the faith you want. Oh, wait, did I misquote verse 6? The Lord said, he did not say, okay, I'm going to give you more faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, the word might there is the word would. You know, that was the old Elizabethan English of saying would. You would say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you. Wow. Lord, give us more faith. Because if I just had more of my faith, then things would work out. But remember, it's not your faith. It's God's faith. And he gave you a measure. Now look what it says here in verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. What do you know about mustard seed? It's the smallest plant-bearing seed, right? It's tiny. And so what he's talking about here is like, even if you have the smallest measure of faith, that tree would still obey you. All right? See, we think it's a matter of having more when Jesus is telling the disciples, use the measure that you do have. Because if you have just born again faith, meaning saved 10 minutes ago faith, it's enough to move it. You could have the smallest measure of God-given faith known on this earth, and it's enough to move the tree. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Faith the size of a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds. All right? And this is a reference to the smallest measure of faith. Just born again faith, it'll work just fine. Jesus didn't increase their faith. He told them to use the measure that they have. Glory to God. Look what he said in verse 6. There's so much going on here. He said, if even though you have the smallest measure of faith, you would say to the sycamore tree. All right, you would say, you would speak to it. Notice what he said, be plucked up by the root. All right, he didn't just say cut it down, you know, at the surface and leave the stump. He said, you speak to it and it will uproot, okay, and it should obey you. Notice that even if you have the smallest measure of faith in this room right now, it's enough to speak to the root of every sickness, every disease, the root of every financial problem, and that thing can uproot and obey you. Notice it didn't just say that it would obey the Lord. God, you tell this thing to stop. No, the scripture says, he says, you, if you had faith, the smallest measure, you would speak to it, and it would obey you. We know that it's not hard. People put their faith in like, well, everything will just obey the Lord. But you have to understand, faith is when you believe in your heart, you speak with your mouth, and you do not doubt the things which you say shall come to pass. Glory to God. 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full. Glory to God. your address paid in full, nothing lacking. You're not troubled. You're fully funded in this life. Amen. You're walking in the strength and the health and the vitality of God. Glory to the Lord. You speak to your body, it will obey you. You speak to your finances, it will obey you. So, well, I just don't have enough faith. Are you born again? Didn't you have to believe with your heart and speak with your mouth to get saved? Use that same faith for your business. Come on. Glory to God. If it's more customers that you're believing God for, start speaking that. Father, I believe with my heart. I speak with my mouth. More customers come to my company. If it's personnel that you're believing for, Father God, I believe with my heart, I speak with my mouth that we have the right staff in this company. Glory to God. Father, I thank you that we're productive and efficient. All right, if it's a wayward child, Father, in Jesus' name, I say that my child fulfills all the plan of God for their life. Praise the Lord. You know, you say that about your children, but you can say it to your children. To your children. Because why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. You know, when your child is heard over and over, hey, I love you. I just want to let you know you're going to fulfill all the plan of God in your life. You're going to fulfill the plan of God in your life. My boys here every day of their life. You know, you'll live long on this earth. You'll turn many from iniquity. All my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Amen. They are mighty seed upon this earth. Great, right? Praise the Lord. It just tells us. Praise the Lord. Amen. You are the generation of the upright. You are blessed. Amen. Notice it said the tree would obey you. Your mouth starts speaking and things start uprooting. Listen, how many of you know the roots are below the surface? And the roots are the part of the tree that you can't see. But you can believe when you speak in faith, things are moving in the realm that you do not see. Come on, sickness can start uprooting. Lack, depression, fear. You say, Lord, give me more faith. He said, use the little measure that you have. He said, if you just had little faith. Remember what Jesus said to Peter when he walked on the sea? You have little faith. Little faith was enough to walk on the water. Come on. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And this is where we're going to end right here. Go over to 2 Corinthians 4:17. This is what we put in the text, if you got it. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Oh, my goodness. Here is an attitude adjustment for us all. And so your faith versus the world. Bring your measure of faith. But you know what, honestly? Most believers are bringing a measure of doubt. We're talking about how bad things are. We're talking about how much they don't like it. They're gossiping about people, things that they don't like about people. They're talking about how hard it is, how awful, how terrible, how miserable they are. They're talking about the money they don't have. I wish I could get to do something like that. Wish I had what they had. Yeah, that's right. It'll absolutely destroy your measure of faith. And let's wrap it up right here. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Here's what you have to understand about this world that we live in. Now, look what Paul said in verse 17. He said, for our light affliction. Now, he's speaking about him and those that were traveling with him. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, this light trial. Light trial. Do you know what Paul was going through at that moment? All right, you can go over there to chapter 11 and read all about it. You know, he said, I was stoned within an inch of my life. I was beaten 5 separate times, right? He said, I was in perils of countrymen, you know, perils of robbers. I was shipwrecked. I doggy paddled in the ocean for a day and a night. I mean, think of all the stuff that he went through. He's like, I was beaten by false brethren. He said, I was robbed. I was beaten 5 times within the inch of my life, stoned, dragged out of the city, left for dead, all those things. And now in the same letter where he describes all that later in chapter 11, he's saying this light affliction. He said, this is a light affliction. Being beaten 5 separate times. Remember he said 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. That was a form of punishment. He was lashed. Okay, so 39 times 5. We've done the math before. It's a lot. All right. He's getting lashed. He's scarred on his back. He's shipwrecked. He's walking through places people that said they were Christians robbed from him. He was beaten, stoned. He says, this light affliction. See, what is that? That's a good faith confession. He didn't say, oh, woe is this burden. It's too heavy for me to bear. No, he told us back in 1 Corinthians, like, the Lord will make sure that anything that we see in our life, our measure of faith could absolutely deal with it, you know, if you're developing it, right? He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He's saying, this thing I'm going through is just for a moment. He didn't say this is a new normal. He says, and it's working for me. We all are talking about how much this thing's working against us. He said, this light affliction, which is just temporary, works for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. My goodness. What revelation. He said, oh, I'm going through a financial thing. This is just an opportunity. It's working for me. Verse 18, this is why Paul could say that. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, he must not have been. Because if you looked at Paul's life at that moment, it did not look right. You know, meaning didn't look good. He said, this is just a light affliction. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, or the things in this world, are what? Temporal. What does that mean? Subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Here we're told in the scripture how this natural world works. It's subject to change. It's subject to change. The thing you must know about this world, that anything you're facing in it, it can change. And here's what we can say. We can say it can change for the better. It can change by our faith. It can change through our words. And so let me, you know, close with this. What purpose, what are you directing your words at? I mean, I'll tell you what, there's some things I'm directing my words at, you know, since the Lord dealt with me, things regarding this church, things regarding your lives, things regarding my home. Oh, I'll tell you what, we have not seen anything yet. Glory to God, hallelujah, it's just subject to change. Financial difficulty, subject to change. Bring your measure of faith. Overcome that thing in the world. Don't be so negative and defeatist and moping around life. I'll tell you what, a man will have joy by the answer of his mouth. You know, if you're needing friends, believe God for friends. You know, if you believe there's a relationship for you, meaning marriage or something, you know, you believe God for that. Don't go around telling everybody, I don't have this, I don't have enough friends, I don't have enough money, I don't have this, that, 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 that. No wonder why you don't. Pastor, you're blaming me. I'm not blaming you, I'm challenging you. I love you. I don't want you to walk the low road, I want you to walk the high road. I want you to have that same spirit of faith that you believe with your heart and speak with your mouth. Do you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. All right, now for the second sermon for the day. No, I just believe we have a hungry church on our hands. And, of course, we're not going to preach until the game kicks off or anything. But we don't direct church by what a game is doing or not doing. But I just believe in this, the hunger in this church. And you'd feed on the word all day. You just love God. Amen. We got some help here today. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. You are faithful and good. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even believing with our heart, speaking with our mouth. Lord Jesus, you turned to your disciples in that boat and said, where is your faith? He turned and said, why is this storm winning right now? Where's your faith? And it said that they being afraid. Lord, we see that fear stole their faith. It diminished their measure. Lord, you said that if we had the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, that we'd speak to it and it would obey us. Lord, we don't cry out to you and say, increase our faith. We know your word says you've given us a measure of faith, and now we are the ones that develop that measure. And we use it. We use it. Instead of just using our mouth for cursing and for doubt and unbelief. talking about how bad things are, how miserable they are. Lord, you said that our tongue is like a fire and it sets on fire the course of nature. And Lord, you said that it is actually set on fire by hell itself. So Lord, we got to guard that. Lord, you said if we guard our lips, we guard our life. Thank you, Father. Lord, you said that we'll have joy by the answer of our lips. Lord, you said that a righteous heart studies to answer. Thank you, Father. You said death and life are in the power of the tongue. Father, you said that if we'd love life and see good days, we'd refrain our tongue and our mouth. Thank you, Father. And so, Lord, we understand our help is right with us. Victory is ever present with us. And Father, your faith has been put on the inside of us. And Father, we just love you and praise you. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss here today, let me ask you the most important words that anyone will ever ask you. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Ask yourself that question deep in your heart. You should have an answer immediately. If you're sitting here and say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't know is not good enough. I don't know is the same as no. Because the Bible says over there in 1 John 5:13 that we should know that we've believed on Jesus, the Son of God. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I just don't know, well, then I'm going to encourage you to leave here today knowing. You can leave knowing that you've called upon the Lord, that you've given your heart to Him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you're here and you've never been saved before, this is not a family church idea. This is God's idea. And so I'm not going to make you stand up today. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to send you off with church leaders to talk. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And you can make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here today that you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior? And today's the day that you want to give your heart to Him. Is there anybody? I don't see any hands. As I look out, of course, I know just about everybody, but not every single person. But I just want to be sure. God's got great help for us. Father, we just praise you today. We glorify you. We thank you for the teaching of the word. Lord, we know what to do now. We know what to bring our measure of faith for. You are so good. You are so faithful. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's stand to our feet. Well, I tell you what, it sure is good to be in a place where the word of God is taught. Let's just go ahead. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and thank the Lord. Father, we just praise you today. We thank you with all of our heart for what we've received. Father, we thank you for our church family. Father, we thank you that we could be surrounded by those that love and care for us and that love and care about you. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.